Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine,
I walk the line. Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Simon Welton. You're listening to The White Noise Show. Coming up right away is The White Noise Show, so stay tuned for that. But I just want to let you guys know, coming up right afterwards, as usual, is, of course, The White Noise After Show. And today we are joined by special guest Ed Hill, who was recently voted by West End Magazine Best Comic in Vancouver. So definitely have lots of interesting things to talk about with him. So please stay tuned for that. But coming up, without further ado, is, of course, the one and only White Noise. Enjoy.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to White Noise. I'm Richard Blackmore, transmitting to you from the lovely UBC campus in Vancouver. Today's show is brought to you by Astrology, the Pretend Physics. First up tonight is an interview with controversial film director Jeremy Goebbels.
Gabby Dean, and this is Film Fanatics. Tonight I interview controversial writer and director Jeremy Goebbels.
Good evening, Gabby. Let's keep this short. I'm on set today and I've got 20 real meth heads on standby. Those guys are not patient.
Okay, no problem, Mr. Goebbels.
Call me Jeremy.
What's wrong with Goebbels?
I think you know what's wrong with Goebbels. World War II?
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, I don't really like action movies. Plus, there are just so many reboots of World War II.
It wasn't just a movie.
Oh, was it a book first? I could have guessed. It's very slow.
Forget it. Let's talk about my film.
Right. You are currently writing, directing, and starring in your own production.
That's correct.
Isn't that a bit, self-indulgent?
Well, yeah, but surely any expression of art in public is, in fact, an act of sharing, also, by its very nature.
So is, you know, wiping your nose on someone else's sleeve. That doesn't make it necessary.
Whoever said art was necessary?
Sure, whatever. So your latest project, early reviews are calling it a mixture of The Human Centipede, Soul Plane, and Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think there's a hint of Lethal Weapon 4 in there, too. I mean, it is mainly visual, has quite a lot of strobe lighting and shaky camera work, but that's intentional. You want to stimulate all the viewer's senses, create strong memories, because when you induce nausea, you're actually inducing feelings into a person. That is something fucking real.
I see. Where do you get your influences for your movies?
Usually lying on public bathroom floors. I just close my eyes and the ideas trickle down onto me.
That helps you come up with ideas?
No, but the smell of urine clears my mind. Lying there, I never make a wrong decision.
Any projects you didn't decide to see through that you wish you had done?
Lots, yeah. But the one I knew in my gut would have succeeded was Oedipus 2, The Stepmom Chronicles. That shit writes itself. Having said that, the bathroom test has never failed me. Every one of the films that passed the bathroom test has gone on to break even.
That's actually pretty good.
Well, except it did approve my ultra-realistic cop movie, The True Blue. Audiences didn't take to my three-hour one-shot movie of police officers doing paperwork. I thought it was exhilarating.
But that wasn't your usual kind of flick. You usually go for a more shocking angle.
Not really. I just go for things I see.
What about the movie where the choir boys sexually assault the priest?
That is probably happening somewhere in the world right now.
Okay, what other project do you have in the works, dare I ask?
Well, I'm working on the world's first high-def silent film.
What's it about?
A racist baby.
Of course, we best probably leave it there. I'm Gabby Deed. Join us again for more Film Fanatics.
That is a topic Hollywood is scared to touch. Racist babies. That piece was brought to you by Ollie's Ostentatious Orgies. It's fancy fucking. Next up tonight is a period piece. It's set in the early 20th century, and it's about the life of doctors.
Hey, David! How's it going?
Michael, good to see you. I haven't seen you since the 1902 conference in Geneva.
That's right, before you got struck off.
How did you know about the sucking off?
I said struck off.
Ah, so are you enjoying this poor excuse for a medical conference?
Oh, definitely. Did you see my speech on bloodletting?
Oh, yes, amazing stuff. I only wish we could save more people with it.
I know. I had 3 patients with colds come in last week, and 2 of them, soon as I drained 4 pints of blood, dead. If only I'd done it sooner, I might have saved them.
I know, but there is some other great stuff coming down the pipeline. Have you heard about lobotomy?
No.
It's where they gently tap the patient's brain until the patient is completely stupid.
Oh, marvellous! I hate the clever ones, always questioning me. I mean, which one of us went to medical school?
We both did.
That's not what I meant.
Then why did you say it?
Never mind. Did you see the lecture on insulin-induced comas to treat addiction?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It was brilliant. What a show. They injected this patient with insulin. He goes completely mental. They're holding him down. Eventually, he finally stops freaking out, and he's in a coma.
And it stopped his addiction?
Dunno, he's in a coma. But apparently, all of the psychiatrists are going nuts for it.
Well, then, it must be good. When have the majority of people been wrong? Oh, you must have seen that chemotherapy lecture yesterday too, then.
No.
Oh, well, then you were lucky. What a waste of 2 hours of my life.
Yeah?
Some idiot was proposing that we inject people with poison to kill cancers.
Poison?
Yes, it's literally derived from mustard gas.
Won't that have nasty side effects?
Yes, that.
That?
Whatever side effects you're thinking of right now. It will cause that.
Oh.
It literally causes everything.
Jesus. Does it at least work?
Sometimes. If it's a fairly straightforward case. No curveballs, you have a chance.
Dear God. Well, forget that. I'll just stick to good old bloodletting.
Good idea. Stick with what you know. Stick with what you know.
Ah, how we change. Now we give our lobotomies in pill form. Much more civilized. Next up is a debate on war out of Wisconsin. A necessary evil or the biggest scam since shampoo was invented? Come on, it's clearly just fancy shower gel.
Good evening, and welcome to A Chance for Chatter. I'm Dana Tursk, and tonight we ask the question, war. What's the point? To answer that question, we have President Kali of Najergistan.
Hello to everyone listening in Najergistan. Remember, my spies can see everything you are doing.
Republican Senator Gail Glory.
Hi, y'all. God bless our troops.
Dickhead.
U.S. Army General Antipathy. And World War II veteran Hans Pfluger.
Guten Morgen. Lovely day for the chinwag.
So who wants to jump in?
I will start as a 2-term governor. I know a lot about being on the front line. I am constantly inundated with communications from veterans in my district. Most of them want help with their damn disability forms for some annoying reason, but a lot also contact me to show support for our missions abroad to spread hope and democracy at whatever cost.
Ha! Hope? You think that's what people see in a bomb raid?
All right, Rorschach, obviously the overall strategy is a little more nuanced than that, but I was keeping it simple.
But why? War is never simple. War is never black and white.
World War I was definitely. I've never seen any color photos of it.
I'm completely against war. I am smart enough to know I will never be the biggest guy. Neither will you. You might think that you are the biggest, nastiest guy, and you might get away with thinking that for a little while. But eventually, you will meet a guy more mean and psychotic than you. And he will fuck you up.
You're preaching to the choir, Kali. I've learned my lesson.
Well, allow me to interrupt this nice little circle jerk.
Old Glory over here, I would wager, has never been further than the edge of the Shire. So I don't expect her to grasp world politics. But Hans and Callie, you were both clearly born abroad. You should know better. World politics is a state of anarchy, where the winner takes all, and the game is war.
But when was the last time the USA actually won a war?
Iraq?
No, IS control half of it now.
The Cold War.
You didn't actually fight in it. That's why it's called the Cold War.
Vietnam War.
Nope. We ran away from that disaster.
Well, World War II then. You cannot deny that.
Well, I think most modern historians give credit to the Russian advancement of 1943 at Stalingrad as the pivotal battle that crushed the German supply lines and began an unrelenting retreat back to Berlin, preceding the D-Day landings by 12 months.
All right, fine. Nobody wins at war. But states need a healthy arsenal to give defensive reassurances to its citizens.
Perhaps if you stopped making people want to hurt you, you wouldn't have to be so paranoid.
Hey, America is like the friend who brings a gun to your house party. You don't ask him to, but you're sure glad he did when a masked man tries to rob the place.
Hear, hear.
What kind of fucked up parties do you guys go to?
Well, I concur. I like a lot of guns at my parties. It makes asking girls to dance much easier.
But you said you were anti-war, Kali.
War between nations, yes. But my own citizens are all fair game.
That is despicable, killing civilians.
Drone strikes!
That is tactically precise bombing, my friend. Don't be complaining about modern warfare tactics that have removed our boys and girls from the firing line.
Not really. You still have infantry wander around the wreckage and get blown up by IEDs after the drones are done.
Yeah, you seem to know a lot about it.
Yes, it's called YouTube and Twitter. They are both banned in my country.
Your poor citizens.
It's all in the plan. Slow progress. In the last decade, I gave them clean water, vaccinations, and the Kama Sutra. They think I am a god.
My district in Georgia does not agree with vaccination.
Oh, I know. We have a saying in my language. Hachiman Shacha Georgia. It roughly translates to, shut up, or I will send you to Georgia.
Well, one day the whole world will be like my part of Georgia.
Over my dead body.
And mine.
And mine.
And mine. Well, I think we worked this one out. Join us again for more Chance to Chatter.
Thank you for that blistering debate on war. What is it good for? Population control. Next up tonight is a theatre piece from Sweden.
Darling?
What's a fascist?
Pardon? A fascist?
Yeah.
It's a person who imposes their narrow views on a large group of people using aggressive tactics, I think.
So is your granddad a fascist?
What? No! Who said that?
Daddy.
When did he say that?
When we had the car. Granddad had been talking about the man in the shop.
Oh, dear, yes. Granddad has some older views, honey.
What's that, racist?
Did Daddy say that?
No, the man in the shop said it about Granddad.
It means someone who judges people on the color of their skin.
Mommy?
Yes, Eva.
I don't think I like Granddad anymore.
It's okay. Your father has never liked him either.
But he's so wrong.
I know. Your generation, thankfully, are much more tolerant.
Why don't we just get rid of all the old people?
Well, because one day you will be old and intolerant and you will want someone to look after you.
So those people aren't even born yet. They won't know what we did.
No, but we would know.
You're worried I would do it to you? Mom?
Yes?
You do realize I'm 3 months old. This is all in your head.
Of course I do, I know. It's me who wants to kill all the old people. Coochie, coochie, coo.
Thank you, Sweden, for that unique piece of theater. I won't pretend I understood it. That piece was brought to you by Carl's Imports, quality importers of Swedish meatballs, Danish bacon, and Dutch rudders. Next up tonight is a historical piece of theatre set at the beginning of human civil society on Earth.
Hey, Nadine, darling, come here.
What is it, Harry? I'm very busy.
Put down your tools. I have something to show you.
Not another one of your schemes.
Not quite.
Your last one, the self-digging poop hole, cost us thousands to develop, and what did we end up with?
The prototype worked.
It was a slave with a shovel.
What about my instant fire machine?
The machine was made of wood! It caught fire every time you used it!
Okay, fine. I started too complicated, but this time I have found a simple, marketable consumer product we can become millionaires off.
Go on.
Cow's milk.
I'm sorry, what?
The milk of a cow.
And what would we do with it?
Drink it.
What?
It's really good tasting, I swear. It's so delicious, and we can get it really easily. You just squeeze a cow's nipples, and it comes out.
Hang on. How do you know all of this? When were you squeezing a cow's nipple?
Before lunch.
And why did you taste it? Am I missing something here?
I was trying to find a solution to our money worries.
And your instinct to solving our money problems was sucking on a cow's tit.
Well, it paid off. Come on, try a bit of this sample I brought home.
No!
Look, it's delicious. See?
Oh my God, I think I'm going to be sick. I can't believe you just drank that.
Why is it so weird? I tried yours when you were breastfeeding the kids.
Yes, but that came from our kind. You don't just exchange other bodily fluids with animals, do you?
Well, not often.
Harry, hear what you're saying. You can't sell animal fluids to people.
Why not?
Because...
Exactly. It's only weird because you've decided it's weird. We eat them. What's the difference if you drink them? Does chewing make it okay?
Okay, we can do this on one condition.
Okay.
I get to do the milking.
Oh, but that's the best bit.
Oh, Harry, thank goodness someone had the sense to try it. We owe you so much. Ice cream, yogurt, coffee that doesn't taste like arse. Coming up next, we have a theatrical piece from Poland called The Samaritan, translated into English right here in Vancouver for your listening pleasure. Enjoy.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Is that a cigarette?
Yeah.
Well, as a well-informed person, it is my duty to let you know that cigarettes will kill you.
Really?
Oh, yes. They are terrible for you.
Shut up!
Yes, they cause all sorts of cancers.
Get out!
Oh, yeah. And erectile dysfunction and gum disease.
Wow, I really had no idea. If only someone would have said something earlier.
I know. That's why I go out of my way to let people know, to be the Good Samaritan.
Well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a stop to their evil right now.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to stand here and smoke all 20 of them before they try anything. They are not going to catch me with my pants down.
I think you misunderstand.
No, sir, I quite understand. I am not going to get caught out by these silent assassins. I can tell you that much.
Are you making fun of me?
No, sir. That would make me a condescending asshole, wouldn't it? And who would want to be one of them? Not me or you, right?
Enjoy breathing through a hole in your neck, you jerk!
Enjoy having no friends!
Ah, engaging scenes from Poland there. And that was brought to you in part by Dora's Missionary Trips. We put you with poor people. Next up tonight is a medical drama, Heart of Zack.
Ah, Zack, you're back again. That's it. Turn sideways to get in the door. There you go, buddy. Take a seat.
Hi, Dr. Watts. How are you?
Terrible. But that's my doctor's problem, not yours. What's the matter?
Well, my chest hurts, my knees still ache, and I'm tired all the time.
Is that a burrito, Zach?
Sorry, I was ages in the waiting room.
But this behavior is the problem. These symptoms are all related to your weight.
That's nonsense. I must have cancer or something. It's the only explanation.
Put down the chocolate bar, please. Zach, this is for your own good.
No, stop. You are just trying to put me into your cookie-cutter society. Just because I don't fit your anorexic fantasy.
Zach, you had to come in through the door sideways. You're out of breath taking the elevator. This isn't obese. This is insane. I'm thinking of you. You want to live to a ripe old age?
Well, only 40. Nothing good happens after 40.
What about being a grandparent? It's like the easy version of being a parent.
It requires you to do the hard parenting bit first.
Well, what about retirement?
Well, the baby boomers are eating the pension.
Yeah, if you leave it for them.
There'll be none left of the millennials anyway.
Fair point, but you could save your own pension.
I will, and I'll be fine. I don't smoke or do drugs.
Thank God for that. You'd be completely screwed.
Elvis lived well as a big man.
He died taking a poop, Zach.
After 50 delicious, satisfying years.
So that's your plan, is it? Eat till you keel over?
Well, what's the alternative? Be miserable on a diet forever?
Why would you be miserable? Does food make you that happy?
Well, yeah. Good food for sure.
Doesn't that seem odd to have your emotions that intertwined with your food?
Not if your food's awesome.
Jesus. All right, I need a cigarette.
You can't do that in here.
Oh, would you be quiet, you hypocrite? Why don't you finish that muffin you're poorly concealing in your pants and we'll both be happy?
Oh.
You stand up for yourself, Zach. Some of us need our caramel and fudge-shaped safety blankets. Next up tonight, we continue the theme of theatre with a piece from Utah entitled Can We Talk About Richard?
Hello?
Good afternoon. Can we have a moment of your time?
I'm a little busy, actually.
Oh, please. It won't take long.
Fine. What is it? Do you want to talk about Jesus?
Oh, no. No. We want to talk about Richard.
Pardon?
We are here to spread the word of our savior, Richard Dawkins.
Oh, right. I see. You're atheists. So what's that like, having no morals?
No morals?
Well, you know, there's no heaven, no hell, no reason to behave, right? If I lost my faith, I would do some pretty messed up stuff.
No, we have morals.
Why? What's the point? Your lives have no meaning.
Are you saying that if you didn't have a god, you'd go around ripping people off and stabbing babies?
Well, not all the time, but yeah, pretty much. Or at least the whiny babies.
So you're just behaving now, so you get a spot on some magical cloud?
I am going to have the best cloud. Jesus is going to be visiting my digs like 24/7. It'll be me, him, and Patrick Swayze dancing the night away. Hopefully it's young Swayze in heaven, not nearly dead I have cancer Swayze, because that might be depressing.
Couldn't you just have morals? Because you want to live a happy, wholesome life with the people around you trusting and loving you for the genuine, compassionate person you decide to be?
Well, sure, but that's not what the Bible says.
Doesn't it basically have the same message, though?
Well, yes, but without the payout of eternal glory and happiness. People won't behave for vague feelings of satisfaction. We need gains, real, tangible rewards for eternity.
Why, though? Do you really hate life that much? It's only worth it for the sake of what comes after it?
No, but it would seem a bit anticlimactic now that I've got these expectations about what's to come.
Fair enough, but if you had never known about it, would you be cool with your regular life?
Well, maybe, but who knows? And who cares? I've got a ball in cloud waiting for me.
So you're not going to join us, then?
No, you guys have done a terrible job of convincing me. Look, I used to be a Jehovah's Witness. Let me give you some pointers.
Really? Would you do that?
Sure, I've got time to kill. I don't have to pick the kids up from school till 3.
Oh, how many kids do you have?
Just the typical 9 that a loving family has. Anyway, firstly, you need to start off with a guilt-provoking question. Don't try to sell them anything too quickly. They will switch off. Just poison their own well. Say something like, do you ever feel unfulfilled? Do you think you've reached your potential? Aren't your friends' lives better?
Are people like that?
Only if you believe people's lives are exactly like Facebook. So, once you have them questioning themselves, you just need to turn the knife, present them with the easily digested cure to their newfound heartburn, in your case, an unfounded satisfaction with your fleeting existence on this earth.
Gotcha. And how often does this technique work for you?
Me? Loads, but I had salvation to offer them. But good luck with your dire message.
We can win hearts and minds. We just need to prove everyone else wrong first.
And good luck doing that in 30 seconds on someone's doorstep.
You're right. We need whole books to do that.
Well, good luck getting them to read them.
Well, then, a movie.
Name a movie that everyone agrees on.
Office Space?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Okay, fine. There is always an exception to the rule. You are not going to write Office Space. Even Mike Judge never wrote Office Space again.
True. What do we do then?
Find a more exciting belief system?
Let's give Satanism another try, Manny.
No, I can't stand all the leather.
You guys should join me. I'm an agnostic.
What's that all about?
It's basically sitting on the fence. You don't have to decide anything, so you're never wrong, but you're also never right.
Do we get to feel smug about ourselves?
Yeah, just a little. And only some of the time. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to be ridiculed by anyone for your beliefs. It's the spiritual cop-out you have been looking for.
Shall we do it, darling?
Is there no leather pants required?
Nope.
No Sunday services, no charities, no priests?
Nope, just lots of confused souls.
Winnie?
Yes.
Let's get agnostic.
Thank you, Utah, for that thought-provoking piece. That is the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of John Greenway, Mariana Mate, Connor Nishelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Oh, lousy smarch weather.
This issue of Discorder, there's no more Discorder. Discorder is over. Vancouver, housing crisis, earthquakes, flash floods, Richmond, underwater. No more Discorder, ever. No more Discorder, ever. There's no more Discorder. Ever. There's no more Discorder. Ever. Discorder. Ever.
Spring is here. This April, pick up an issue of Discorder from a local venue or record store for articles on Sumac, Snit, Sarah DeVachi, Record Store Day, and more. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, Levitation Fest, Rickshaw Theater, Light Organ Records, Beat Merchant, Red Cat Records, Neptune Records, Horses Records, Audiopile Records, Dandelion Emporium, High Life Records, Vinyl Records, Live Van, and AMS Events.
Hello, hello, hello. That was the White Noise Show. You're listening to CITR 101.9 out of Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton. This is the White Noise After Show. I'm joined today by special guest Ed Hill. For those who don't know, Ed Hill is a pro comic who lives locally in Vancouver. This year he's voted best comedian in Vancouver by West Ender Magazine. He's also appeared on Bite TV's Stand Up and Bite Me. He's on XM Radio's Laugh Attack, Hulu's West Coast Comedy, and 2 appearances at Comedy Time TV. So we're going to have him in the studio today. We're going to answer some questions. We're going to talk about comedy. We're also giving away tickets to a show of his on May 16th. And if you would like to win those tickets, we've got 2 sets of tickets to give away. We've got late show tickets and early show tickets. So if you want to win those, it's really easy. All you got to do is send in the best question to ask Ed Hill today. And you're going to send that question to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. Or if you're just a bit more elaborate than that, you can also tweet us at whitenoiseubc. As well, so you know, whatever takes your fancy, but make sure you do that in the next half hour and we'll get you those tickets. But right now we're gonna listen to a little track and then we're gonna come back, listen to a little Ed Hill live, and then fun for you about it, though? What is it you love about doing stand-up comedy? Like,
just being able to create. Like, you make something, you write something, and you test it out literally the same night. And you can see your fruit, you know, rot or blossom. So
you like the sort of the individuality of it, in a sense. This is the sort of the control
the challenge that consistently that comes with it. That's what I like.
Okay, so and but you've chosen the stand up comedy medium. I mean, have you tried other mediums, or is it something? Is it just that sort of instant gratification that you like about it?
Well, I went to like music production for a bit also, because it kind of ties in pretty closely with DJing. But the thing is with music production is the song doesn't come out to its final form until, you know, 3-4 months down the road. Then you play it for people, and they tell you how awful it is. And I think I'm just an impatient person who doesn't want to be disappointed in the long run. I was like, okay, let's just get this point in now. I wrote it now. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And same thing with like sketch comedy. I'm starting to get into. I got into it a little bit before, and I'm trying to get back to it again. Again, you gotta write it. You gotta shoot it, or you gotta record it if it's audio, and then the feedback comes way later rather than instantly. And that for me is terrifying. I don't know why. I'd rather have people tell me I suck right away than, you know, wait a few weeks. And
I get that. I totally do. And yeah, it almost becomes a sort of creeping paranoia if you're like, if you don't hear anything, you just assume the worst, you know, it's definitely a danger.
Yeah. And you go for weeks of generating this sense of hope. Like, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. I am so good at this. And then you show it to the world and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get a day job.
I do think, though, that like doing stand-up gives you such a better reading of what is not funny to you, but what's funny to the general audience, like what is potentially going to be good.
Yeah.
That you sort of... I think you become a harsh, you know, as any good comic should, you become a harsher critic of your own writing and you just get better at it.
Yeah.
But I definitely think having that stand-up background makes you a lot more honest than people who just try and write sketches to begin with. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's what I've noticed anyway.
And for me also, I like the, maybe it's just the way people around me are. I don't know. It's just there's a lack of self-awareness these days in this world. I think it's because we're so close together that we tend to pay attention to others and ourselves. And I like how stand-up I'm able to, you know, I guess, tune up that self-awareness and look within who I am, what I am, why am I doing this, how am I relating to others, and what type of message am I giving to people. And I like that.
Okay. Carry on, sir.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't think I ever did that before when I did stand up. I would just be like, I'm just gonna have the guy.
Really?
Yeah. And now it would look at myself like, oh, wow, you're one of the worst human beings that ever exists on this planet.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps if everyone was a bit more honest about yourselves, I think we'd probably be quite terrified of each other, perhaps, but...
it's a tough thing to do, though. Sometimes I'll analyze myself and I'll be like, wow, why do I even deserve to eat food? Because I'm not doing anything with this energy.
Yeah. When you think about like first world privilege too hard, especially coming to university, it makes you do that a lot. You're sort of like, wow, I should be doing better things. Yeah. I really should have gone to med school, but
I'm complaining how expensive this book is. I know how to read.
I'm not dying. Yeah, I'm not dying of disease and malnutrition, but I still get a bit down on Saturdays, you know. Oh, dear. All right, well, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a hell of a lot more. So this is Big Dick with Give Up. it's only a minute long, so it's like...
this music, reggae music. It's tell you whole world, you know. Telepathically and physically and mentally and spiritually, we are telling you this music, yeah.
So you heard it here at Rocker Show 101.9 FM CITR, featuring yours truly, George Beard, keeping the reggae music alive on the west coast of Canada. It's all about roots rock, lovers rock, dancehall reggae music on CITR Rocker Show, Sunday noon to 3 p.m. each and every Sunday. For over 25 years of doing it nice, warm, and easy. Until next time, such time, keep the faith and spread it gently. Ja bless and Ja guide dance. Ja out. Bless out.
Check out this year's fun and thought-provoking films for kids and young at heart. Reel to Reel, April 10th to 17th, features films from around the world and includes hands-on workshops and activities for the whole family. Don't miss the Saturday morning pajama party and Sunday fun day, the weekend of April 11th to 12th at the Van City Theater and Roundhouse Community Center. Reel to Reel runs April 10th to 17th. For more info, check out r2rfestival.org.
All right, there you go. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. My name's Simon Welton. This is the White Noise After Show you're listening to right now. I'm joined in the studio still by Ed Hill. We still have tickets to give away. So if you want those tickets, it's quite simple. You just got to send in a question for Ed Hill to answer. And we've got two sets of tickets to his show on May 16th down on Pandora Street. So send your question to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com in the next 10 minutes, and those tickets are yours. So make sure you do that. But right now we're going to keep talking to Ed, and so he's going to listen to one of my questions. So Ed, next question for you is, like, what's your method for writing comedy? Like, you know, where's your inspiration, and how do you go about working on jokes and you know, and putting something together?
I talk to myself all the time, like a crazy person. I talk to myself in the shower. I talk to myself when I drive. And that's where I do most of my writing, is when I go on long drives. I really like, when I go on the road, I really like the long drives between cities, because that's where I can sit and just say out loud. So if you're, most people who drive past me, who notice what I'm doing, think I'm insane. It's like, that guy is yelling at himself right now. Stay away, bro. Change lanes. So that, you know, that's my process. And I don't write things down. I can't do it.
Not at all. Nothing at all.
It just feels like, for other types of writing, stories, poems, stuff like that, I can write it down for sure. Before performance material, I can't. It just feels like homework to me.
Huh.
And it's always, if I write it down, I sit at my table, write it down, it's always racist, homophobic. Just like the rudest things.
What is it that's a rather horrendous pen going on there?
I think it's just my natural rejection of this process. It's like, I'm just gonna make it inappropriate. I'm like, okay, I can't. This is stupid.
Oh dear, fair enough. So one other thing I was interested in, I noticed you've done a fair amount of festival work. So that's something we haven't talked about too much on the show before. So I'm curious, like, you know, what can you tell us about the festivals? Like, what do they mean to you? Like, you know, what are the value are they to a new comic or any comic? And, you know, how do you even get into, like, the festival scene?
Okay. Well, I guess there's two functions. Festivals, there was two functions for me. On the artistic side, it was for me to go to new places never been. And that's where I guess that ties into the last questions, where material comes from, is going to new places, meeting people. And a lot of my material comes from places and situations I've been in. And I have this really good talent of being in weird, awkward situations where people would just like to talk to me for no reason. Like, I could be just walking down the street and some old lady would come out and tell me about muffins for 25 minutes for no reasons at all. And then I will listen to it. That's the stupidest thing. Like, I just can't walk away. I'm like, okay, let's talk about muffins. Where, you know, you probably need to go to the hospital, but let's talk about muffins. So that's one reason why, and I get to go to cities I never go to. The other aspect is the business aspect, where it's a network that you build, because the people who go to festival usually are comics who are hoping to do the same thing. They're hoping to expand their reach from their hometowns into other markets. So then you start build this network of people where you can set up shows and get to know information and stuff. Plus, it's a credit on your resume. So if you need to apply for foreign work visas, that's another good way to do it. Because a lot of festivals, they don't give you money. They give you other type of, you know, pay, with like hotel or travel, whatever it may be, or, you know, goods from sponsors. So, you know, that's, it's kind of a loophole for you to get the credits without having go through. Because, you know, it's a catch-22. You know, to get a work visa, you got to get recognition. But to get recognition, you need a work visa. So it's kind of like, well, how do I – it's impossible. So that's kind of a loophole like that.
So will they give you the recognition to get a work visa, or do you just not need one because of them not actually giving you any money?
You don't need the work visa to do festivals.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay.
So that's why I did it.
All right.
And I built a really good network of comics, and, you know, I'm really starting to see it blossom. So
nice. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because, I mean, that seems to be what are the reasons a lot of people do hosting their own shows,
yeah,
is to do with that on a more localized level. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense that you could do that then at the festivals.
And you find like-minded people. I think that's the most important part, is just, you know, it's kind of a bunch of commie nerds getting together, being all excited to do comedy. That's, I guess, this way. It's like a Comic-Con for comics. Yeah, and, you know, how to get into it really is, I'm kind of old school in that sense, where a lot of people will look for, you know, easy, quick ways to get into things. I literally just do my research. I think I've told this quite a few times with two different shows. I went on Google, and I Googled for 12 to 16 hours straight of all the festivals that exist on this planet. I wrote them down in a spreadsheet. Who books? I would even go into forum conversations and find responses from others. So somebody would say, oh, Jason, blah, blah, blah. And I would say, okay, Jason, that's a key word. This city, this festival, and find out what Jason's last name is and find the contact through
that. Right, yeah, because, yeah. I mean, he's obviously in that comedy scene, yeah, somewhere, so that makes sense.
And I ordered it from, you know, time, January to December. I coded it all. How big the festival is, what entails from it, and stuff like that. I just did all the groundwork, so I got into it.
That's really good advice. Yeah.
And I started sending emails like crazy, and it was the most brutal thing I've ever done in my life, but it works.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
So what's been the best festival you've been to? Like, where would you recommend? Like, what's a really good festival you've been at?
I really, two that stands out. One is Cape Fear Comedy Festival. That's in the East Coast. It's a little far. It's in North Carolina.
Okay.
I get to do it again this year. And that's actually where I met Derek, which are the tickets we're going away, the headliner. It's a great festival. It's they give you really, there's a great photographer that works there that gives you really good headshots, and it's well organized. The other one is on the other side of the world. So it's the SF Sketch Fest in San Francisco. Comedy Festival. I also really like that one. I like San Francisco, so
yeah, it's amazing.
Maybe I'm
so,
just,
yeah,
biased. I stayed in the hotel. All their hotels have these signs that says, "Just to let you know, there's stuff in this hotel that causes cancer, and you might die." Like, every hotel has that, and I'm like, "Why would you put that up?" And it's like, by law, they gotta tell people.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. Here.
Bizarre. All right, you know, not pulling the wool over your eyes in that city. Jesus. All right then. Well, that is 9 o'clock. We are basically done here. So I just want to let you guys know again. Seeing as you didn't email in, you didn't win the tickets, but you can still go buy them like you should.
Nobody wants to go.
It's Pandora's Comedy Box on May 16th. The early show 7 p.m. The late show is 9:30. It's hosted by Ed Hill. We're gonna. The headliner is Derek Sheen from Seattle.
Yeah, he's a regular opener for Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn.
Nice. So. And also on that bill, we've got Vanessa Wasnow, Damian Johnson, Kevin Quinn. So it's going to be a cracking show. It's at Pandora's Box Studios, which is 1890 Pandora Street. That's again May 16th, so make sure you go to that. Otherwise, that is the White Noise After Show. I am Simon Welton. Thank you so much, Ed Hill, for being here this week.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And you'll be join us next week. We'll have another special guest. We're going to have another half-hour White Noise comedy. We'll do it all over again. So hopefully we'll see you then. Good night. Thinking back to the time that I was with me, thinking back to the days gone by. If I saw you now, I wonder what you think of me. Would you call me back to say goodbye? Goodbye. Goodbye. Thinking back to the time you loved me, and I wonder did I really even try? That's the part about having all this practice. Never felt it hard to say goodbye.
Challenge a perfect immortal machine.